Hello and welcome to a latest edition of the Sustainability Perspectives podcast. My name is Elisabeth Skuder, and today I'm pleased to have with me Achim Griefenstein, who is Senior Vice President for Group R&D at Constantia Flexibles. He's also Chairman of the Packaging Division at European Plastic Converters, and also he's a member of the Advisory Board and Technical Committee at Polyolefin Films. And these job titles are obviously a testament to his deep industry experience in films and flexible packaging. And I'm really looking forward to our conversation today, which will be all about packaging films and recycling and recyclability. So yeah, welcome, Achim. Thank you very much for being on the podcast here with me today.
Yeah, thank you for the invitation.
And to start off with, could you quickly introduce yourself and talk a bit more about your different roles and your industry experience?
Yeah, I'm working my whole business life in the plastics industry. The last 10 years for Constantia Flexibles, as many people know, producing flexible packaging, not only from plastics, but also paper and aluminium. And today, the topic is more about hard to recycle flexible materials. That's a challenge we and our industry has to solve in the circular economy. And while we have had in the last years a lot of controversial discussions in the industry, should we design better packaging or will new recycling technologies solve our issue and we can continue to design the packaging as in the past? Today, there seems to be a very broad consensus that we need very demanding design for recycling guidelines. And that's a topic we as Constantia and I personally are working on the last couple of years.
Leading on from that, I was wondering, films can be a bit challenging to recycle, but what makes them a good packaging material? And also, what would the requirements be for actually making them recyclable?
Yeah, let's talk today mainly about the plastics. Of course, since many politicians looking if they are designing these days the new packaging waste regulation, many of them had plastics in mind that we need a solution for that. And our industry has designed it over the decades more and more efficiently, thinner and thinner, with very good performance. But today, there's a broad consensus that we need for all recycling technologies. Doesn't matter if it's mechanical recycling or chemical recycling, or a new topic I've also heard in the last months more and more, the so-called advanced mechanical recycling. More and more people believe that not only chemical, but also mechanical recycling will in the future give us food-approved recyclates. In order to achieve that, we cannot afford to do compromises. And today it's a broad consensus that the mixture of technical thermoplastics containing heteroatoms, a mixture of these technical thermoplastics with polyolefins in the same packaging is not a good idea. Having said that, a few heteroatoms in barrier materials like EVOH we do need, and we need them also in inks. Nobody wants to have a non-printed packaging. We are in a marketing society. We have print. We have also some barrier lacquers, but we have to really minimize that. And so it is a broad consensus that we go monomaterial. For plastics, I can clearly say we will not have a problem to design highest barrier packaging with 90 to 95% share of the target polymer. And that is either mono PE or mono polypropylene.
And before we get a bit deeper into those two, I wanted to just quickly ask, you mentioned advanced mechanical recycling. Could you talk a little bit more about what that entails or how it would work?
Yeah, so today mechanical recycling, especially when we are talking post-consumer recyclates, which have been sorted out of the household bin, these polyolefinic post-consumer regranulates often have a lot of gels today. And these gels are agglomerations of non-polyolefin materials, as the mentioned technical thermoplastics, inks, lacquers, etc. And we have to design these materials so that they are well compatible, can be well blended into the polyolefins. That's our part as converters. But the recycling industry is also very busy to develop new sorting technologies to sort food packaging from non-food packaging. The first precondition to allow mechanical recycled polyolefinic food grades one day. The second point is de-inking to get rid of the inks and the color, to have also light-colored or translucent regranulates and not just grayish regranulates. And the last point is a couple of decontamination processes to absorb and suck out all the disturbing substances, since many of the ingredients of a packaging could create during the recycling unwanted NIAS, which would then make food approval also impossible. So a combination of different additional steps to the current mechanical recycling will be the solution and will contribute in future. If that will give us one day real food grades, or let's say only grades which could be used for applications like cosmetics or others which have not the, the highest standards. And I have to say, the standards also in USA and Europe are different. So many food, many mechanical grades can today already be used in the USA and not in Europe, since our European authority, EFSA, is probably one of the strictest in the world.
Yeah, thank you for explaining that. And getting back to the monomaterials, which are obviously key for recyclability, what are the differences between mono-PE and mono-PP generally?
Yeah, many people are discussing, and of course, the suppliers of PE and PP, sometimes one can have the impression that there's a competition between the two materials. We, as a material-neutral company, we can clearly say both materials in flexible packaging will have their applications. And at the end, functionality determines what to use where. And last but not least, if I look to the recycling topic today, it's somewhat more easy to create a new film out of a recyclate with polyethylene. Here we have established streams, and a PE blown film can tolerate also some gels, if the end customer also accepts them. That's the other question. While oriented films like biaxial oriented polypropylene and all orientation processes have almost no tolerance against gels in the recyclate, it would rapidly lead to web breakage and then very bad economics. Having said that, we see that functionality determines what to use where, and for us, as a rule of thumb, ethylene, polyethylene, monomaterials will be used in most cases where today polyethylene is a sealant, and polypropylene will be used, monopolypropylene, in applications where polypropylene, BOPP today, or CPP is a sealant, and in applications where you need higher stiffness and higher temperature resistance, what polyethylene cannot give. For example, retortable packaging are surely an application for mono PP. That means our industry needs both.
And I was wondering, obviously, beverage cartons are quite challenging applications where you need a barrier. And would these mono materials, mono PP or mono PE, also work for those?
Yeah, that is a good question. As I have said, we are producing packaging also made of paper, and we can see that the approach to apply lacquers, if you want to go highest barrier, can rapidly come to a certain end. And if somebody wants to create paper packaging with highest possible barrier, such as beverage cartons, then, of course, the lamination with a barrier film or with aluminium today is the method of choice. The Alliance for Beverage Carton means an association where all the beverage carton suppliers are working together on design guidelines. They have a couple of months ago released a new guideline, and they have more or less defined that a mono PE approach, very, very similar to that what Recyclass is also defining for the polymers, a mono PE laminated onto paper would be the future solution to create high barrier and recyclable packaging. In that sense, that Not only the paper is recycled, but also the polymer share, since the polymer share is not a wild mixture of various polymer materials, but is also designed according to the mono PE approach.
And leading on from that, do you have any recent products examples from Constantia Flexibles that illustrate what you've talked about up until now?
Yeah, of course. We are permanently introducing new mono material packaging, and we have a bunch of applications ranging from healthcare applications, where also we can use easier mechanical recyclates also in that packaging, to food packaging demanding highest barrier like coffee, or also some other critical and also aggressive filling goods. One example for an aggressive filling goods we have just brought recently to the market is a packaging for wet wipe in mono PE. Wet wipes contain aggressive liquids, and they could attack the barrier layer, and that has to be avoided. We have also other applications where we have even launched our Ecolam High Plus, means the highest barrier application, with barriers pretty close to that what you can measure. That also now these days can withstand aggressive filling goods. And if I move from the mono PE and to also the mono PP, of course, chemical resistance is also required in pharmaceutical applications, also temperature resistance. And last but not least, if I look to smaller packaging, like sachets and stick packs, they are so small, having a relative high wall thickness, so that the probability that they are sorted to the rigid stream are high. And thus also we have introduced our Perpetua in the pharmaceutical applications in as a mono PP packaging. Two recent examples of the consumer area in mono PP are vacuum coffee packs. For coffee packs, you need a good deadfall property, which is somewhat easier to be achieved with PP than with polyethylene. Here we have launched a vacuum coffee pack in mono PP, our so-called EcoWare deadfold. And last but not least, we believe also that the packaging waste regulation, with the overall goal to reduce packaging weight, would also stimulate the switch from rigid packaging to flexible packaging if we design the packaging in a well-recyclable form. And here we have introduced recently a mono PP EcoWare variation as flexible pouch instead of a typical tray lid system, a rigid packaging system to pack minced meat. That is, for flexibles, a completely new application brought also recently onto the market. And just to mention a few examples, probably I've forgotten some.
Great. And we talked about recyclability, and I also wanted to ask you about the use of recycled content in these films. How is this being done, and what are the challenges there?
Yes, the challenge is mainly with the food packaging. Today, the only, let's say, bulletproof technology to create a recyclate with real 100% and identical virgin properties is the chemical recycling. However, chemical recycling capacities are not too much in Europe and also worldwide. There is a lot of intentions of our resin producers to install capacity, but many of them are hesitating these days. They wait for the outcome of the discussions in Brussels. And to summarize it in short words, they would invest only if politics would accept the mass balance approach. So that means for chemical recycling, it's more a commercial than a technical question. The technical properties are identical. However, energy consumption and also price of such recyclates is much higher. And that will be the main challenge here. If you go mechanical recyclates, we have also already produced non-food packaging in the healthcare and personal care sector. That's possible. But here, if we talk really post-consumer recyclates, a few jails, also depending on the willingness of the customer to pay a price upcharge, more or less jails has to be accepted. However, the whole industry is working to improve the quality of the recyclates. And as I've started in my introduction, that we can do only together without doing too much compromises. And for example, if I look to the latest results we have seen here also at RISI class, it is probably not a good idea to have too much polyamide in the packaging, as some people try to advocate. Be really very careful with everything that could create jails in a recyclate. Otherwise, we cannot close the circle.
Absolutely, yes. Obviously, there's some very challenging products to package, and creating a barrier for these can be difficult. And how is this addressed in monomaterial films?
Yeah, in the monomaterial films, a couple of years ago, many people have said with monomaterials, you cannot create highest barriers, and you cannot create such high barrier flexible packaging at the same grammage. It means recyclability would be compromised by upgauging. I can clearly say both is not true. First of all, in almost all applications, the thickness of the monomaterials is pretty similar. Otherwise, also our customers would have to pay a much too high price upcharge they would not accept. Having said that, for the barrier, we have created high plus version, means a combination of different barrier technologies onto mono PE and mono PP. And especially with mono PE, that was challenging over the last years. And therefore, we have received for that innovation what we call Ecolam High Plus very recently in Austria, the Green Star Award for that innovation, means a high barrier application having a very high oxygen, aroma, and water vapor barrier, so that it could basically replace all consumer food packaging. Having said that, with pharmaceutical packaging, aluminium as the infinite barrier, where beyond a certain thickness, really no material is migrating through aluminium for pharmaceutical packaging, will be the dominating barrier material for the foreseeable future. And in pharma packaging, also the topic recyclability is regarded a little bit different, since really medicine packaging can, for legislative reasons, today also not be recycled. And that's also the reason why the pharmaceutical industry will have a few more years for the transition, however the final version of the packaging will, legislation will look like.
And obviously, there's a lot happening within the industry, and there's a shift from some rigid packs being replaced by film packaging. And I wanted to ask you to wrap up this podcast, what's the potential there, and what rigid packs do you think can be replaced by flexibles?
Yeah, that's a good point. I would say all packaging materials have their up and downside potentials, depending on the final version of the packaging waste regulation. Rigid packaging could profit from the demand for more reusable packaging. Of course, here rigid and especially the bottle and beverage industry might be an example here, where rigid packaging is really the material of choice if you want to go for more multi-use. However, it is not always clear under what conditions multi-use is better for the planet. And if you have long transportation distances, then also you a single-use recyclable packaging could do the job. It could be either a thinner bottle or could be a beverage cardboard, whatever. In the flexible, of course, if you look to the goal that the Commission and everybody wants to reduce packaging consumption as a whole, and if I look to targets, numbers between 10, 15, 20% packaging weight reduction are discussed, then it is clear flexible packaging has much lower weight per kilogram of packed goods. And studies have also shown that from the material point of view, plastics are the most lightweight packaging, followed by aluminium. If you think alone about all these thin wrappers of the Santa Claus and Easter bunnies, there's a super thin packaging made of aluminium and followed by paper. And therefore, these three materials concerning the packaging weight as a whole have a much better balance than glass and steel. So therefore, we will see what the future brings, but lightweight packaging such as flexible surely will have a future. That is clear.
Yes, there's always with sustainability, there's a lot to bear in mind, and I think all these solutions have a place in the scheme of things. So, yeah, that brings us to the end of today's podcast. Thank you very much, Achim, for being here today and for sharing your vast knowledge with me today.
Yeah, thanks again for the invitation. It's a pleasure.
Thank you very much. And as always, to all our listeners, make sure you subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss out any of the latest episodes. Thank you very much.